Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome all of you who have gathered here for worship this day. We have the opportunity to gather around the word of the Lord, to gather at his table, and to gather with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we rejoice that you are here today and pray that the Lord will bless you. I believe most of the announcements really are in the bulletin. And today we have the opportunity to gather in worship and praise. And so we will begin our worship singing hymn 783, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Take my life and let it be, consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Take
my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift. My voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. My intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose.
Take
my will and make it thine.
It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart,
it is thine own.
It shall be.
Lord, I pour at thy feet his treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Our worship today is Divine Service 3. I invite you now to please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. And justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We will join in the responsive reading of Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard
my voice and my pleas for mercy.
Because he inclined his ear to me,
therefore I will call on him as long as I live.
The snares of death encompassed me.
The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is merciful.
The Lord preserves the simple.
When I was brought low, he saved me.
Return, O my soul, to your rest.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with you.
For you have delivered my soul from death,
my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
I will walk before the Lord
in the land of the living.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son,
and to the Holy.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety. Govern her by your goodness and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheek to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they would obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please rise? Gospel, which also serves as the text for our meditation today, from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy. And he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
This is the portion of the service that's been set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. Well, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Good. I'm glad, really glad to hear that. And I'm really glad to see you here this morning. Now, you know what? I have got a message for you today. And it's a really, really, really important message. And it's inside this envelope. Do you want to know what it says?
Sure.
Well, I do too. Only problem is, the envelope is, it's all sealed up. And as long as the envelope stays closed? Ah, yeah, that's the big question. What's inside? And but the trouble is, as long as the envelope stays closed up, we aren't going to know what the message inside is. So what do we need? What do you think we should do? Rip it open. Okay, should we rip it open? Yeah, sure. It's all closed up, good and tight. It's sealed up in there. Let's see now. Here is our important message. Can any of you read that to me? Okay. God loves you. That is a really important message, isn't it? And you and I, we have this message inside of us. I want you to think about yourself as an envelope. Because we know how much God loves us. And we know that He sent His Son, Jesus, to save us. And He gave Himself for us. And you know what? That is the most important message that there is in the world. But sometimes you and I, we're kind of like those closed up envelopes. And when we just keep the message inside of us, well, that's not really helping anybody, is it? What we need to do is we need to be like open envelopes so that we can tell everybody around us just how much God loves not just us, but to tell everybody just how much God also loves them. And that's a really important message. That's all for this morning. I do have something here if you want to take one. Okay, terrific. All right, thank you for your help.
And then we will join in singing the sermon hymn number 849. 849, praise the one who breaks the darkness.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace. Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with a piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cold water to the desert burning sand. From this well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land. Let us praise the Word incarnate, Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose victorious, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Let us praise the true Redeemer, praise the one who makes us one.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our text is the gospel lesson from Mark chapter 9. And I think of those words of our Lord Jesus. After he casts out, when he was going to cast out that spirit, and he says basically that the only, this kind can only be driven out or can come out by prayer. This is our text. Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, they were on their way back from the Transfiguration at the beginning of today's reading. And the other nine disciples, well, they were at the foot of the mountain waiting for their return. And while they were waiting, a father brought his son to see Jesus. You see, an evil spirit tormented the son, and the father wanted Jesus to remove it. Now, if a father came to you with this request, I think you'd have every right to be more than a little bit bewildered. On the other hand, though, the disciples should have been able to help this father and his son. I mean, the difference is that earlier on in his ministry, Jesus had appointed the 12 so that they might be with him and so that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. Well, the fact is, Jesus has not given you or me this authority in the same way that he gave it to those disciples. I mean, the disciples had received this authority, and so they should have been able to drive the evil spirit out of the boy. But nevertheless, they were unable to help this boy. And there were also critics down there at the foot of the mountain waiting for Jesus to come down. And by this, you see, by this time in his ministry, the scribes and the Pharisees, they always sent a few of their people to keep an eye on Jesus. So when the disciples failed to drive the demon out of the boy, a few of those critics began to debate the disciples about the best way to drive out demons. And so when Jesus comes with Peter and James and John and returns to the other disciples, they saw a great crowd gathered around them and the scribes arguing with them. Well, Jesus, he asked what the problem was. And so the father comes forward and answers him. He says, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams, and he grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." Well, Jesus, I think, expressed his disappointment with the disciples in rather strong terms when he said, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." Well, Jesus had given the disciples authority over demons, and they didn't trust his promise. So his primary frustration was the disciples' lack of faith. And when they brought the boy to Jesus, the demon's response reminds us that every demon knows who Jesus is. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell onto the ground, and he rolled about, foaming at the mouth. I mean, it's just as the Apostle James wrote, the demons believe and shudder. You see, the evil spirit in the boy was terrified of Jesus. And although the demon believed in Jesus, it was the faith the kind of faith that knew an eternal future of punishment. And the Father also, he also had a kind of faith. Maybe it was the faith of desperation. It's as if he was thinking, I've tried everything else, and I've got nothing to lose by trying Jesus. And so he said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Well, the Father had enough faith to bring his boy to Jesus. But it was a faith of desperation. And Jesus' rebuke of the boy's father, well, that's gentler than his rebuke of the disciples. But it's still a rebuke. Because Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. You see, the father trusted in his past experiences. Everything that he had tried before had failed. And he might have even expected disappointment once again. I mean, the lack of faith in the disciples and the Father, they represent the two possibilities for the faith that comes by human power. The disciples, well, they began to have faith in their past success. The Father began to have faith in his past failures. I mean, the disciples at one time had been able to drive out demons, but now they couldn't. And like many people who have had success, they began to believe that their success was based on their skills, their own abilities. And so they began to rely on their own power instead of on the true source of power, which is God. And like many people who experience God's blessings, they began to forget about God. The Father, he had faith in a different kind of experience. No one had been able to heal his son. And he had placed his faith in many earthly cures, and he'd been disappointed. And I think when he asked for help, the disappointments of the past came through. He said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I think the world had disappointed him so many times that his request had no confidence, and he expected disappointment once again. And the struggles that the disciples and the Father had with faith, I think that demonstrates that the war with the devil, the world, and even our own sinful human flesh, that war is constantly being waged against us. And one of the strategies of those forces out there, I think, is to convince us that we are responsible for our own faith. But the fact is, the truth of the matter is, if our faith truly did depend on us, then we would never have it. I mean, what does the Apostle Paul remind us? You were dead in the trespasses and sins. And dead people can't do anything, much less work up any kind of faith. And Paul also wrote, the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And do you understand this? From this we learn that not only is it impossible for anyone to produce faith within themselves, but that a person without faith is hostile to God. And the only way out of this situation is for the Holy Spirit to put our old sinful nature to death. And when Jesus drove the unclean spirit out of the boy, he said, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. You know, that corpse-like appearance of the boy reminds us that that old Adam, that old sinful nature in us, must die with all sins and evil desires. And then, just as Jesus took the boy by the hand and raised him, the Holy Spirit must bring forth a new man in us. And the faith that the Holy Spirit brings to life in us is a faith in Jesus, the same Jesus who drove the demon from the boy in today's gospel. And just as Jesus was the only solution for that demon-possessed son, I'm going to tell you that Jesus is the only solution for us, for you and me. And just as Jesus dealt with that demon in today's gospel, he also deals with the sin that's in us. He doesn't ask us to work off our own sin. Instead, he worked off our sins for us. He took our sins onto himself and carried them to the cross. He took the punishment of our sins on himself so that we don't have to suffer for them. And he conquered sin with his suffering and death. And then he conquered death by rising from the grave. And now he offers that cure for sin to all mankind. And that brings us back to the Father's prayer. I believe, help my unbelief. And as Christians, when we pray this prayer, we're acknowledging that our faith is weak. We're acknowledging our utter helplessness. There's nothing that we can do to maintain it, let alone strengthen it. So we have to beg and cry out to God, to beg him to keep us in that one true faith until he finally comes to take us home to himself in heaven. And that Holy Spirit works to give us a faith that believes in God's grace. We believe in God's grace, not in our own works. And he calls us to believe in the one who is the way and the truth and the life. He calls us to believe in the one who drives out demons and who gives us true life instead. He calls us to believe in Jesus Christ. You know, if we're looking for faith to come from within us, it's going to fail. If we're looking for faith to come from the world around us, it's going to fail. Only the Spirit's gift of faith in Christ Jesus lasts forever. And it's only through that faith that Jesus gives us forgiveness of sins, gives us life, and gives us salvation. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Restore unto me.
Gracious God, receive these offerings that we bring this day. It's just a portion of the blessings that you have showered upon us. And we pray, Lord, that you would take them and make them useful for the work of your church, that your word might be proclaimed, and that working through that word, your Spirit might bring others to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And now, in peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Sustain us through the many troubles and trials of this world. And when unclean spirits afflict us and those that we love, revive our trust in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given your beloved Son the tongue of one who is taught, that he may know how to sustain with a word those who are weary. Prosper in every place the preaching of your gospel. By your Spirit, enable your pastors to proclaim the word with clarity and joy. And by the same Spirit, open the ears of your children to believe it with gladness and action. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, guard the tongues of our governing authorities, that they may not stumble in what they say, but speak wisely, leading in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, you have promised that all things are possible for one who believes. In such faith, we bring before you Margaret and Charlotte, Brunetta and Mary, Gary and Bill, Bryston and Joe, Kim and Andrew, Brandy and Maverick, Heather and Gary, Mark and Michael, Ray and Lane, Chelsea and Norma. We remember the family of Marshall Boyers and the family of Juanita Clausen. Gracious Lord, be with them. We bring all of these and all others who are in need, asking you to grant them health and healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we know that your Son is near us in his Holy Supper, giving in his body and blood his saving righteousness for the forgiveness of sins. Grant repentance and faith to all who come to his table, that they may welcome him with joy, praying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary
that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory
forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all sin. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. The peace of the Lord be with you now and always. Amen.
According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Our closing hymn, hymn 924, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing.
Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. Fill